Mr. Jim Mandel.
Let's give another hand of praise for Mayor. She always brings those heart-warm, felt messages, and I could listen to her all day. I mean, not only do I listen to the truth that she gives and shares, but I also look at the fruit of this ministry, and I say to myself, look at the fruit of this ministry, and look at that pillar there. Look at that virtual woman. Look at that. It's just so awesome to hear somebody with a foundation like that to just share and realize the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of Christ and why we're here and what we're created for and the whole purpose of even being on this earth. Because really, when you know the truth, that sets us free. And then all these other things fade away and we can be overcomers. Really simple, you know, God becomes, see, there's a point where we war, and then there's a point where God then takes over our warfare. And hopefully I accomplished this in my messages. We're on, right, James? Because we are speaking live around the world, and also we are recording. And I started a series on, really, I want to call it the Kingdom of God. It's the Kingdom of God series. But at the same time, this is the message that Jesus tried to bring 2,000 years ago. And the church said, what is this foreign gospel or foreign doctrine that he's bringing? And it's nothing foreign. It's been there since the foundations of the world. I think what's foreign is that it doesn't have the traditions, you know. I want to share with the world here, we're not trying to convert anyone. You want to be a Jew, be a Jew. You want to be a Muslim, be a Muslim. You want to be a Buddhist, be a Buddhist. You want to be Hindi, be Hindi. You know, all that is basically the traditions of religion. But have a ball. But know the truth. And that's what I'm here for. That's what we're here for, to give you the truth, to give you the principles of how to deal with life and to be able to come into heaven, the divine eternal life. And so, you know, I hope and pray that, you know, this message reaches the whole entire world, which I really truly believe. There's a movement that is happening, and if anybody has eyes to see, they can see the movement. There are people out there that are just tired of the same old, and they just want change. And we're here to bring change. And that most important part is change in your life and to be able to be free. So to continue the message, I brought a foundation of the Kingdom of God, okay? And I began to start understanding about the most important thing is repentance. And if we don't come to a place of repentance, we're not going to be able to have a life. We're not going to be able to be free. We're not going to be able to have the bondage and the weight of the world be off of us. We're going to be in torment. And repentance is not, and as I keep repeating this over and over and over, it's not being sorry. Repentance has nothing to do about being sorry. I want everyone that is listening and to understand that God has removed our transgressions. And so if you made a mistake or you think you've done something wrong yesterday, well, get over it. Forgive yourself, because that's the only thing that's judging you and holding these things against you is yourself. So get over it. And we need to move on with our lives. We have to pick ourselves up and brush ourselves off and begin to move on. And I share I want to keep referring to the world. I keep telling the world that we need to come to a place of understanding to where we can brush ourselves off. We suffer because of lack of knowledge. And we are in bondage because there is a place that is inside of us I'm going to call the promised land. Or I want to say your hopes, your desires, your dreams. You have something inside of you that is substance. How many people would agree with me on this one? You know, without that substance, what do you have? You don't have a life. You're dead. The only thing that makes you alive, if you really think about it, is ambition, hope, dreams, desires, unctions. Am I right? If you don't have any of that, what kind of life do you have? You're dead. Okay. Well, when I say to you, you have a life, you can take it carnally or you can take it spiritually. I hope that we begin to start looking spiritually and stop looking carnal. And what I mean by carnal is things, places, people, objects. Okay? Life is within. And we need to really begin to look within. If you don't look within, you're dead. It's just the bottom line. You're dead. This happens to be the Halloween weekend. And one of the things that I want to share, and it kind of goes along with this weekend, because what is really celebrated, so to say, during Halloween? Spooks, goblins, you know, you actually are brought into it a little bit of an awareness of the supernatural, right? You see spooks and goblins, monsters, whatever you want to call it. But I want to focus on spirit. I want to focus on the spiritual realm of life, because that's where true life is. It's not on the outside. Scripture says that, you know, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded, it's life. And not only is it life, but everlasting life. Now, when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he was trying to bring this message. John the Baptist came first. He was telling everybody to repent because someone's coming to bring a message about the kingdom of God. Then he came and he began to start speaking about the kingdom of God and that the kingdom of God is within us. One of the things that I want to speak about that we really have to truly be aware of is that our battles are not flesh and blood, but they're spirit. They're principalities, powers, wickedness, darkness in high places. And one of the things that we have to understand is that the kingdom of God is always suffering violence. And the violence is taking the kingdom of God by force. We're losing. We're losing the battle. The world is losing this battle because they don't understand that there is a place that is inside of them that it's our job to enter in and protect it. How many people understand where I'm going? Okay. And if we don't go and enter in and protect it, then we're going to suffer. We're going to be destroyed. We're going to be tormented. We're going to be tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine, wondering where to go. We're lost. How many of us want to be found? How many truly want to know what's our plan, our purpose? What do we really need to do? What do we have to focus on? What's our life? Well, we have to go first and find hope. Without hope, we have nothing. If you don't have a purpose, you're dead. So I hope that today we begin to understand we need to create a life. Just like I say, there is no God until you create God. Okay? Just like there is no life until you create life. But to be honest with you, isn't life there? Isn't God there? Okay, all these things are there, but they're not there because you haven't created them. You haven't been aware of them. You haven't focused on them. You're lost. You're blind. You're deaf. So I hope and pray that we can begin to stand together, open up our eyes, begin to see, begin to hear. One of the things that bothers me the most is when I see people suffer. And then sometimes I become strong-armed or hard. You know, I throw people out of my life. There's a time where I hold them. I hold them tight. I cuddle. I give them everything they possibly need. I try to give them enough to stand on their own two feet. And then it's like hitting a brick wall, a lead ceiling. It's like trying to force a blind person to walk on their own through the woods and not let a branch hit them or anything. It begins to be impossible. So what do? Do you continue to put yourself in that place of torment, like beating a dead horse to walk and live? Or do you walk away? I'll tell you right now, a lot of times you have to walk away. And that goes also along with some things that are in your life. There are things that are happening that you might have to just walk away from, because that's bringing bondage in your own life. Now, I'm going to share something with you, because if we don't begin to understand this place that is inside of us, we have no life. And like I said, I don't care what tradition you want to follow, but I do care about you getting this truth in you. I do care about you finding the kingdom of God and actually living out your life in the kingdom. Because there's a point where God has given you strength to overcome. How many of us truly realize that we have power inside of us? Okay? God didn't create us to fail. He didn't create us to be destroyed. Okay? He created us to be overcomers. And we can overcome. When I hear people tell me that it's too hard or they're suffering, man, I just want to smack them. No, I just want to keep smacking them, because you know what? They don't know what other people are suffering. They might not even know who they're talking to. I think we all suffer. And I think we all suffer the same. So when we begin to start tell an individual that it's impossible and, you know, they're dying and, you know, they can't get out of their miry pit, I just want to tell them to go. The reason why is because we're in a pit and we need to be lifted up. You see? You know, the worst thing is to have all these dragging you down when we're all in it together. And so wouldn't it be better if we can just all lift each other up and stop complaining about the pit? If you're in the pit and you want to complain about the pit, go over there, because that's where that pit is. Not in here, okay? I'm trying to get out of the pit and you're trying to drag me into the pit? No. But to be spiritually minded, it's probably the greatest strength we can have. And our battles are not flesh and blood. Our battles are principalities and powers. Now, I loved when Mayor says, we need to tell people about our problems. We need to be open and verbal, you know, and say, hey, listen, it stinks. It is what it is. But, you know, we move on. To say that we don't have any problems, we're fooling ourselves, right? And a lot of times we're like pressure cookers. And if you don't tell somebody you got a problem, you know, you're going to explode eventually. You're going to pop. So it's good to let a little steam out every once in a while. I got a problem. Psst. I got a problem. Psst. I got a problem. Psst. You know, and you're just letting a little air out. Psst. 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 But then to dwell on the problem. You know, and then to begin to keep dwelling and dwelling and dwelling and dwelling and dwelling, it's like death. And it's nothing but death. Now, to be spiritually minded is the best thing that we can ever have for ourselves. We don't fight with flesh and blood. Okay? I look at it as that individual is not my enemy. This individual is not my enemy. This thing is not my enemy. That is not my enemy. These things around me are not my enemy. The devil's my enemy. Powers, principalities, wickedness, darkness in high places. That's my enemy. And to be aware of that, okay, is probably one of the greatest gifts that you can have, so that you begin to stop warring and complaining and fighting things that you don't have any control of. What we need to do is focus on the truth, and that's to protect the kingdom of God. I don't care about the bills. I don't care about, the rain that is, destroying my crops out there. I don't care about these things that are creating inconveniences, let's say. What I care about is the joy that's in my heart, the peace that's in my heart, and the righteousness that is in my heart. And when you can begin to protect that place, despite all your circumstances, you're actually creating and building a habitation for God to dwell, a place that God begins to enter in. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you're in the presence of God, things flee. They can't stand in the presence of our Almighty God. They can't hang. Darkness cannot hang out with light. You're in a dark room, you turn the light on, where's the darkness? It doesn't exist anymore. And that is, it's so true with the Spirit, and God is light. And when you bring that light in to a dark place, all darkness, all your worries, all your troubles, everything has to flee. This message is so important. And the purpose of even Jesus Christ was to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And the kingdom of God will destroy all darkness. I have some verses that I want to share just to show you what I'm saying backs up into the in that book called the Bible, which I love that book. And, keep logging on to messages. You'll hear all about that book and how I feel about it. But for time, the truth sets us free. And the truth is simple. The gospel is simple when you know it. When you know the truth, that gospel can be really simple. And they even talks about, taking the simplicity of Christ. And what is happening? Isn't the simplicity of this truth have been perverted as some great mystery? And, only the high priest know it. And, no, you know it too. We need to get control of ourselves. We need to bring ourselves into submission. And one of the most greatest and biggest attacks is through our mind. That is the greatest and biggest attack. Now, I want to tell you that there are powers and principalities, wickedness, darkness in high places, in spiritual high places. And you just can't see them. You have to believe on me. You have to believe what I'm saying in order to understand this truth. And if you apply this truth, you will begin to be free. But if you don't believe me, you're not going to apply it, and then you'll never be free. How many have gotten that one? Good. Because we have to take control of our thoughts, and we have to pull them down. We literally have to take an effort and grab these thoughts that are trying to destroy us and throw them down to the ground. And if we don't take control of ourselves, guess what? You know what? Just end it. Just go somewhere and fade away. You're useless anyhow. You're wasting time. Just fade away. Think about it. What purpose do you serve if you can't control yourself? What purpose do you serve if you don't have the tools or the weapons to pull down strongholds that are in your life? And all you're doing is creating death in other people's lives. How many are understanding what I'm saying here? God has called us to be a vessel and to be a purpose. Do you have value in your life? Do you have a purpose in your life? Are you called? We were born to be overcomers. We were born to accomplish great things. We weren't born just to make our own little fame and fortune. We were born to make an impact in people's lives. We were born to be a light in a dark place. We were born to do something great and accomplish great things. To just put food on the table for your family, that's not a great thing. That's like an obligation. That's like something that you have to do. But some of us can't even do that. Some of us are so far down in the pit, we're just like moaning and groaning and just moaning and groaning. And it's like, you know what? We have all of us have problems. How many here don't have problems? Oh, no hands are going up, huh? How many here have problems? Come on, I think we all should be like, ooh, I want to raise two hands.
Me.
You know, we all have problems. Everyone has problems. I want to share some of these verses here. One of the most important things is to understand that our battles are not flesh and blood. There are powers and principalities, darkness and wickedness in high places. We have to know this with our heart, our soul, our mind, because you know what happens? You begin to start blaming everybody and everything. You're never looking inside. And I'm going to tell you right now, the battle isn't outside. The battle is inside. And if I can bring this light to you and explain to you that there is a kingdom, a promised land that is all within. Do you know that your inner is more important than the outward? And if you can cleanse and heal the inner, your inner brings forth the outward. Your inner will bring your outward success. Your inward will bring your outward fame. Your inward would bring your future. How many people understand this one? It's an awesome mystery. Where does your future exist to begin with? Inside. And then it develops with a passion. And then that passion, you follow it and create your outside. It creates your destiny. It creates your future. It creates what you are. It creates who you want to be with. It creates the world around you. But it starts from within. And this is where the gospel is. This is the good news. But people are suffering and their outwardness never develops because their inwardness is suffering. And if I can bring you the truths to war against your inners and overcome your inners to have victory inside, your future is going to be victorious. Your places and peoples and things will prosper. You will come into a promised land. That promised land exists inside of you. And you have to develop it and enter into it first before it can manifest itself on the outward. It's like a vision. It's like a dream. How many people have visions? Now, the scriptures say, my children suffer and are destroyed because of lack of vision. And if you don't have a vision, then you have no hope. You have no purpose. You have nothing to go towards. You have nothing to build. I'm going to tell you one thing. Your vision, your desire, your hope is more powerful than you can ever comprehend or even imagine. You want healing. You want things to change in your life. You want people around you to be delivered and set free. See it. Begin to confess it. Prophesy it. What a man believeth in his heart, so he is. Do you know why things aren't happening the way you want them to happen or believe that they could happen? It's because death is inside of you. You don't really see the hope or see the outcome. You don't really understand. And, you know, there's this sympathy and bondage that is inside of us, and it's keeping everything else in bondage. We need to set ourselves free so that doors will open up in our lives. Victory will open up in our lives. Things will take place. Now understand, Rome wasn't built in a day. How many people have heard that one before? Okay? An eternity is a real long time. And in God's eyes, time doesn't exist. Okay? And that's one thing we have to understand. Time doesn't exist. So we just need to be patient. Just because we vision something, you know, and, you know, we desire something and, you know, we begin to start warring with inside of ourselves as never losing hope, so to say. Don't peter out. Don't fall short of His glory. Don't fail. It'll come to pass. What God has put inside of us, He's faithful and just to accomplish it. We just need to believe. We just need to understand. I was speaking to someone earlier and I was like, you know, that passion inside of you, where did it come from? We don't create, God creates. We're not the creator, God creates. And so God put that creation inside of us. So it's His desire, it's His will. If you can see it, it's His. If you have a passion, it's His. If you have a desire, it's His. If we don't have a hope or a passion or a desire, guess what? He's not there. We have to call upon His name so He enters in. But there's a place that we have to establish. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a simple, so simple, it probably goes beyond our comprehension and makes it really hard. But our mortar and our brick and our wood and our nails all comes from righteousness, peace, and joy. If I could tell you what the substance of joy is, it would blow your mind. It's like the mortar and the bricks, you know, and joy is like the nails and the glue and righteousness. Oh my God, that's like the roof, you know. You got to be able to build this kingdom inside of you so that God can dwell. And He only dwells within the light. He won't dwell with darkness. So if you don't have a kingdom built inside of you with righteousness, peace, and joy, I'm going to tell you right now, God's over there. He's not within. He comes when you start rejoicing and praising and being glad. He comes when you count all things as joy. And again, I say rejoice. You know, He comes and dwells with that character, that disposition, because that's who He is. He's love. And if you can describe love, and I look at someone and I love them, guess what? They're righteous. When I love somebody, they can't do anything wrong, can they? When you love somebody, they cannot do anything wrong, and we even make excuses why they're wrong is wrong, because they didn't do it. Somebody else did it. Somebody else did that. It was impossible that they were able to come into that wrong. Love covers a multitude of sin. And so when you look at love, and you have somebody who you love that is close to you, doesn't it bring joy? Doesn't it bring peace? I want that love with me, you see? And that empowers you and brings greater power. How many of us here want to walk in power? Okay. Now, you can go into prayer and you can feel like you're praying heaven down and everything else, but I'm going to tell you the greatest way and the most easiest way to walk in power is to rejoice. To have righteousness. I didn't do anything wrong. Listen, everyone falls short of the glory. I'm trying really hard. I listen to the conviction of my heart. I'm trying to follow the law of the commandments written on my heart. I'm being obedient in the eyes of God by following my convictions. I want to be a good person. I want to do the right thing. I want to show love. I'm laying myself down as a sacrifice. Guess what? You're building power. You're building power. And then when you rejoice in all troubles and problems and circumstances, you're building greater power. And when you can keep on counting all things as joy and you're just rejoicing no matter what, and you turn things around, you look at things and you turn it around for the good, you're creating power. Do you want your future to come into existence? Then we need to understand that our battles are not flesh and blood. They are principalities, wickedness, darkness in high places. And what is the biggest tool that the enemy uses on you to bring worry in you, to bring fear in you? And what does worry and fear do? They begin to take away your joy. They begin to take away your peace. Now, if the enemy is there stealing your peace and joy, then what is it about peace and joy that we need to protect so much? Obviously, there's power in it. Because the only weapon that the darkness has over your life is to steal it. And if you can take it back and hold on to it and build it, and it's by casting down imaginations that are in your head, and that's the only place where the devil or darkness or wickedness or however you want to identify this power is the only place that he can come and infiltrate you. It's through the mind. And when our mind is thinking perversion, death, guess what? He stole your life. He stole your future. He stole your destiny. Don't ever think you got anything in front of you because he stole it all already. He took it from you. He robbed you. And God's not there to bail you out. You can cry all you want. You can hit the lead ceilings. I'm going to tell you right now, because that's what you are. You're in a lead box. You're in a lead box, and God cannot hear your prayers. Sounds horrible, isn't it? It's almost like, oh my God, I confessed your name. I did all these things in your name. I did all the works that I was told to do and everything else, but I'm dying. I'm failing. And it's because your heart is not established. You allowed the enemy to come into your mind and lie to you, tell you foul, nasty things. Create imagination of failure and death. It'll never happen. It'll never work. It's taken too long. How come this is never going to get done? Oh my God, it's never going to happen. I can't believe it. How many have ever heard those lies? They're wicked. They're horrible. They're disgusting. And we have to recognize them because God doesn't want any of that in your life. He's like, I created you perfect. I created you whole. I created you with virtue. I created you with life. I created you with purpose. I created you with some substance. And yet we're allowing the darkness, the principalities, the powers, the wickedness in high places to destroy us. And we're allowing it to happen in our lives. Well, we can say we're allowing it to happen because we have no self-control. We're allowing it to happen because we just never heard the truth. We just never realized that there were powers out there that are bringing these thoughts to us. Well, I'm going to tell you today, you can't use that as an excuse anymore. Because I'm here telling you that they are powers that are bringing these thoughts to you, and they are killing you and destroying you. And you know what? When I see somebody that are being destroyed, like let's take the whole asylum crazy house. I look at all those people in there and I say, you know what? There are great calls on their lives. Look at all the anointed ones that have been destroyed. Because the darkness knew what they were going to be. but they suffer and they went the wrong path because they didn't have a shepherd. They didn't have somebody to tell them the truth. They didn't have somebody to tell them that they need to change the way they're thinking. You know what's really upsetting to me? Science and knowledge has gone to a place where they're trying to take away the spirit. And they're creating all these mind-altering drugs to try to put you in a state of whatever, to numb or to, you know, fizzle out, or any types of frequencies in the mind that darkness goes through. See, there's channels in our minds. There's doorways and windows, I call it, of the mind. How many know that your eyes are gateways? Okay? Your ears are gateways, an entrance to some part of your soul. Science has taken that out. Science has taken that truth out. And it's a shame, because what they have done is they created these pills to infiltrate those gateways and to numb them and to, you know, comatose you in the part of not having a life, and you become a vegetable. How many people understand what I'm talking about? It's very important to understand what we're facing. Knowledge is ever increasing, and sometimes this knowledge isn't healthy. Spiritual knowledge is very healthy. You want to know what your problems are. Me personally, yes. Is there areas of our lives that, you know, snap? Yes. I know somebody that's very dear to my heart that came under, a mental medical issue. And I'm not denying the medical field one bit. I am not denying the medical field. But this person came under MS, multiple sclerosis. And this multiple sclerosis was brought on by torment. The history of it doesn't exist in this person's family. This thing doesn't even exist. Like, there's no trace of it for it to even manifest, so to say. But if you look at the history of this person, it came through torment, severe torment, mental torment, through an individual that they loved so dear. And constant condemnation has been put on that person, and that guilt and condemnation, that guilt and shame was loaded, and they overloaded. They overloaded in their brain. They overloaded and they fried. There was a part in the brain that fried. I spoke to the doctor, and the doctor told me this disease is caused by a section of the brain frying. Now, I saw this in the spirit. And then he proved it to me scientifically, that there was an area in the brain that fried. But it was fried by condemnation, shame, guilt, through a person that they loved very, very dear to their heart. And I'm sharing this because if there are people out there listening that have this love towards someone, and this someone is just doing these things to them, you know, they're blaming themselves. We have to be careful about, you know, what we do and how we, you know, communicate and share. And I don't blame the person that did it to them, in the sense that they just didn't know. I think they were reacting out of love, but the love was channeled in a bad way and put guilt and shame and just so burdened and so heavy on the individual, it made their mind go bzzz. So I understand, you know, science. I understand that our mind is equipped with, you know, nerve endings and signals up in there, you know, that can burn out. But where did it, how did it happen? Darkness. See, it came in through darkness. It came in through another infiltrate, and it came in through the ear gates. They heard it. And they took it. And it troubled in their head. I'm telling you, darkness gets into the head. And when darkness gets in the head, it's a bad thing. And then when it gets into the head, it goes into the heart. And when it gets into the heart, it gets rooted. And that's when it's really hard to get out. If I can get us to change the way we're thinking now and to get it before it causes damage to our heart, I want to bring the kingdom of God and I want us to protect it. I don't want to make complications. I want to make it simple. Just count everything for joy, please. Just start being rejoiceful and grateful and thankful. You know, let's take the condemnation out and listen, you didn't do anything wrong. And just be joyful. Have peace. Anything that's troubling you and you're not happy, find peace. Just find peace. You know what? I have just destroyed the works of darkness in every area you possibly can think of on that simplicity of the gospel. This is what it's all about. I can recognize something that's bringing trouble in my heart, can't you? And I can walk away from something that's stealing my peace, can you? All right, we accomplished it. And how about righteousness? If somebody's putting guilt on my heart, like I did something wrong, when I'm really trying, can you walk away from that? Can you close your ear gates and shut that stuff off? We accomplished it. You see where I'm coming from? This is all we need to really focus on. Jeez. What do we need a church for then if we could just like speak these three things over and over and over again? You know, let's make it really complicated, you know, and bring up all these stories and we'll keep the church going. Listen, I've come to the conclusion, I'm not here to build a church, even though, you know, we need people to come in and all to get the message to build what, the ultimate thing that I'm looking to build. And that's the kingdom of God within. I'm looking to build the church within. Let me share this here, these verses here, just to back up what was said. It says here, just to let you know that these principalities and powers exist. Jesus even said, you know, he said to him, then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us this parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. You see? And then it says, the harvest is the end of the age. I'm going to tell you right now, we're at an end of an age. How many people realize that we are in an end of an age and there is a transition to a new age? Amen. It says right here, the harvest is the end of the age. There's a harvest right now. People are going to come to this truth whether they like it or not. There's a harvest. There's a harvest. And then it says, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteousness will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me just paraphrase this verse here. I truly believe that this truth is going to come out and people are going to understand this gospel and they're going to begin to build the kingdom of God. And then as the wickedness comes and tries to steal the peace and joy, they're going to grab what offends them and they're going to pull it down. They're going to make a stand and say, you know what? This one offends me. I'm walking away from them. This thing is offending me. I'm walking away from it. This thing is troubling me. I'm walking away from it. When you begin to start doing that in your life, guess what you're doing? You're making the kingdom of God shine. Let me share something else here. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaming lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So basically, this verse here is saying, be sober, be vigilant, because darkness, principalities, wickedness is walking around, roaring like a lion, seeking who he may devour. So, to put it in short terms, darkness is looking to kill you. They're looking around, they're looking. I'm going to tell you right now, I want to be able to establish myself where that lion is roaring, is looking around and sees me and goes, ah! I want to establish a light in me that thing don't even look at me. No way, I can't even take that on. I'm not even going to go near it. But he takes someone who's weak and frail and goes, lunchtime, dinner time, I'm going to go in there and have a smorgasbord. I'm going to go in and mess with this one, and then I'm going to accomplish something. I'm going to destroy them. We got to wake up. These things are real. They walk around looking to devour. They're looking for their next victim. Are we giving in to the darkness and allowing this darkness to steal and kill and destroy our life? Are we allowing these things to take place? Let the glory come. And then it says here, it says, rest in him, rest in God, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood. And that should just give you enough hope and faith to say, listen, my sufferings are no different than this person's suffering. So listen, if we're all suffering together, let's just pick each other up. Let's lift each other up. Let's join together. If you're suffering, I'm suffering. Let's go have a beer. Let's go party. Let's not mollow around and let's like wallow in our vomit so that the enemy can come and destroy us even more. Let us take our minds off of it. Let us meditate and focus on the good things. We all suffer. I don't need to hear it. How about you? Listen, there's more. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. This is what Jesus says. Well, you know what? I'm going to say the same thing. I'm coming here today. I'm declaring this word today so that you can have life, and not only have life, abundant life. The greatest pleasure that I have and the greatest joy that I can ever, ever have, I'm going to tell you right now, I am trying to build peace and joy in my life, aren't I? So if I'm trying to build joy, the greatest joy that I receive in my life is when you walk into your promised land. When you begin to see those things that are manifesting in you like hope and it comes alive. When you get your dreams filled. When you get those desires accomplished and those hopes that are in you come to pass, my joy is going through the roof. I love it. And then I'll tell you what, share me your hopes, because I have access to the Father. And I go and I take it into prayer, and my Father hears me. Why? Because I established the kingdom where he dwells in. And I know it because I know His glory, and His glory lives within. And when I talk to the Father talks to me. And I say, Lord, I'm having an issue. I have powers and principalities that are stealing my joy. I need someone's hope filled so that my joy can exceed abundantly. What's your fix? What's your drug that gets you joy? Mine is to see you come into that hope. My joy and my is stolen when I see you suffer. You know, when I see someone, they're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. You know, I'm every day of my life is committed to say, Lord, give me the words to come into the soul so that they can hear and know the keys of righteousness. Give me the words to speak that will enter into the soul and open up blind eyes so that they can begin to see the life that you have given them, so that they can war against these powers and principalities and enter into their future, enter into their life, so that they can not only have that life, but abundance of life. Listen, I'm not real concerned about eternity right now, because if I can have you have eternity now on earth, well, you got a guaranteed ticket when you leave this earth. I don't have to be concerned about your eternal life. I'm going to tell you right now. People who focus and minister about your eternal life, I call fools. They should minister and concentrate on your earthly life and get you into the eternal, abundant life on earth. And then they don't even have to be concerned about eternal life, because you got a ticket, a one-way free ticket to the promised land of eternity. A wise man will build now. A wise man will build his house on the rock now and establish that house. And I'm here to help you establish that house on your rock. It says here, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. God, here I am. But the greatest thing was resist the devil. I want us to resist this darkness, this power, this principality. It says it here. It would have never said that you have the power if you didn't. So obviously, we have the power to resist this darkness. We have the power to resist this principality that is trying to come and steal our joy. We have the power to overcome the lion that is roaring to devour us. We have the power. Why are we not exercising this power? Why are we not taking the strongholds and casting them down? Why are we submitting and bowing down to false gods? And bowing down to these false gods and believing the words that they say, they're only death. If there are passions that are inside of you and you did all that you can do, guess what? It's done. Now we show worship to our Father by saying, I've done all that I can do and I can't do anymore. Let me express my worship by giving it to you. When you build that place in your heart, then God hears a righteous man's prayer. And then he comes in and infiltrates and then fights and destroys your enemies. And that's when that scripture comes to pass, where he destroys your enemies and sets a banquet table before you. We need to really grab hold of what is happening to us. We are being destroyed because we can't take the simplicity and the power that God has given us. Listen, I'm not saying I don't get upset. I'm not saying that there are things in my heart that are troubled. And I will do all that I can do to try to help. But there's a point in all of our lives where we can't do any more. And if we can't do any more, then this is where we come in and show true worship. And if we don't know how to worship, we can show worship by surrendering these issues to our God. And then never look back. Never dwell on them. Because then we're saying, we believe, but we don't believe. Then we're saying, you know, I love you, God, but our heart is so far from Him. God says, I'm going to raise the true worshipers, the ones that will worship me in spirit and in truth. If I can't get spirit and truth any clearer, I don't know what else to say. Because I believe that He has given us the power. And what we're lacking is taking this power and using it. It's one thing to say it with words, but it's another to say it with heart. It says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself over against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That obedience of Christ is your heart. How do you feel? What's your wish? What's your desire? If you've done all that you can do, now we give it to Him. Let God be God and work out our righteousness. You know, we have a problem where we want our righteousness to shine. But God loves a broken, contrite person. And when we give it to Him, that shows brokenness. When we cry out and say, God, I can't do anymore. It's not saying that you're weak. It's saying you're strong because you realize who's the Creator and who's the God. You realize, and it takes a strong person to humble themselves. It takes a strong person to break themselves down to a place of nothing to be able to say, here, Lord. Here. It says here in Revelations, and this part here, it's almost like I love. Before I share that part in Revelations, I got two more verses. It says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and we've already spoke about that. But it says, but I fear, lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't let the enemy steal your joy. Don't let the enemy steal your hope. Don't let the enemy steal anything. Righteousness, peace, and joy. They're the main three keys. And I'm going to be repeating these things throughout this series of building the kingdom of God, because this is the thing that we need to focus on most of all. There's nothing more. If the kingdom of God is not built, then we have no life. We have no eternal life. We just are nothing. In Revelations it says, and I also say to you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. That's what we want. We want a church built inside of you so the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. How much greater is there than one who has built the house of God within them? Not carnal brick and mortar, but spiritual brick and mortar. and build that house of peace and joy and righteousness and do all that you can do to build it. And then when the house is built, God comes in and dwells with us. This is the beautiful thing. He comes and he dwells within us. You can no longer say he's over there and he's over here. You can say he's right here. And you can know for sure because you built the house. You fought. You know, how many people understand that if you inherit something you didn't work for, guess what? You can swindle it and blow it away. But if you worked for it and you established it, is it easy for it to swindle away? That's what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. I want you to work for your salvation. Nobody's going to give it to you, and nobody cares. The only one that cares is you. How many of us are going to work on our salvation today? I committed my life to this message. And I have said to the Lord, do a great work in me so that I can show the world it's possible. Do a great work in me so that I can be a living testimony of your glory. And whatever I touch turns to gold. But not for me, for them. For those that are in need, for those who are crying, let the shadows of me show your glory and heal the sick. Let me embrace that one who is sick and hug him and let all darkness flee because of the light that's in me. Let my presence come into the room and change the atmosphere. Because all darkness has to leave because the light is just so bright. I know it's possible. I know it's possible. Because the day I came back out of that heavenly place, I glowed with a light. And I saw the manifestations of someone screaming. And they threw me out of their presence. And I didn't understand. I had no understanding until now. And I said to the Lord, how did the light dim? And he says, I needed you functioning in the world. If that light lit like it was when you came out of heaven, you wouldn't be around anyone. They would all flee from your presence. You have to build a reputation. You have to be proven and tested and shown so the world can see that you endured the temptations as my son did 2,000 years ago. He came in the likeness of man. And he endured the temptations and the sufferings as we all do. And then at the end, he shined like the light. And that light hit him the day when they all said, persecute him. That light didn't come shining. Because the day before, they were calling him, you know, whatever, and saying, hell, hell, whatever they were saying. But the Lord then bestowed on him and came and dwelled. And that's when all heaven said, hallelujah. Now the kingdom of God dwells on the earth and dwells with man. And that point in time, the light lit. And the world hated him. And the darkness hated him. And said, persecute, persecute, persecute. If anybody ever wanted to understand the truth of why that particular situation in Jesus' life happened, I just gave it to you. God dwelt with him at that time. And the world couldn't receive the light. And the light screamed and said, kill him. Persecute him. One day, they're praising him. Overnight, they want to kill him. It's because God dwelt with him. Have this same heart today. Establish this desire inside of you. When I look around and I see individuals, I see greatness. I see greatness. More greatness than you can even imagine. Sometimes I wish God never gave me this insight, because then I wouldn't have this persuasive hope for you. But I look and I see. Where you see, you don't see what I see. Let us bow our heads for a moment. God did a great work today. So I'm just going to begin to praise him and thank him and glorify his name. And I'm asking him to hold back the powers of darkness so that this seed that was planted in your heart, whether it's on rocky soil, whether it's on good moist dirt, wherever that seed fell on your heart, I pray that God will send his angels to protect it. That God would send his angels to look over that seed and nurture that seed. Because this word today is probably the greatest message that you can plant in your heart to begin to build the kingdom of God. If it's the end of the age and the harvest is here, then Lord, do a great work and begin to work in those that you have called and establish them. Give them the power to overcome darkness so darkness doesn't prevail in their life anymore. I will say this one thing. The devil knows what takes you down. And he'll use loved ones in your life. You know, one of the things that I said, Lord, you can take everything away from me, but don't take my health. My prayer is, Lord, you can take everything away from me now, but don't take my kids. You know, what is your weak spot? Protect your weak spot. And if you have a weak spot and you want to protect it, give those weak spots to God and walk away. I've done it. I've done it with my health, and I've done it with my children, and they are really the only weak spots I got. I had many, but I overcame them. Father, I thank you for your glory. I thank you for protecting us. I thank you for your love so that we heard your word today. Lord, I ask these prayer calls, Lord. They have done great testimonies in you. I want these testimonies to continue to go out, Lord, in your name. I want them to be ministered within themselves. And I'm going to ask that you send forth those warring angels on each and every one of these prayer cloths. Lord, there are challenges in people's lives here. And this is one of the most important, greatest reasons I say get here if you can. Because you never know what God is going to do when you get here. But I believe in my heart, and he uses the foolish things to confound the wise, I'm going to tell you right now. He'll prove and test your love for him by the idiocy of what he causes you to do. But I know in my heart that because I've asked, he's going to place an angel with one of these prayer cloths for one of your battles that you're going through. And if you're going through more than one battle, take another one. Take two, take three, take four. Whatever it takes so that you have some help on your behalf. I'm going to ask if Sarah, if you could come here. And I want you to take these cloths. Let them grab whatever they need. Okay? Yep. And pass them out. And if you believe and you have strongholds that you're dealing with, if something is stealing your peace, something that is stealing your joy, the aprons of Paul healed the sick. The aprons of Paul delivered and set free people. I know my testimony when I got hit with these prayer cloths. And my breath was taken out of me, and we saw the glory of heaven just open up, and it was just the most glorious thing. I hold tight to the testimony. And I truly believe that if we have these issues and we need help, God is faithful and just. Keep these particular ones on you until you overcome. And when you overcome and joy comes into it, into that place, when joy comes into that place, I want you to pass it on. Pass it on. God will bring that individual that you can use as a testimony. You'll be enlightened. You'll know. You'll be like, wow, these are my special ones. But guess what? I think I overcame, and now they're for you. Allow these angels in heaven to work on our behalf. It was called and spoken about how they commissioned. And don't think that, you know, one was the same as the other. These are specifically called with a word. These are specifically called and brought with a word. And in that, there's a specific angel that wars with that particular area of your heart that the enemy is trying to steal and destroy. Amen? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I'm going to end this service and bring closure. And if someone would like to bring closure...